Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chilly.
September 16, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you found it. And you're hearing me say this. It is Friars Day as I speak to you live just after 8 p.m. Eastern Time in that place we used to call America. So, yeah, if you're hearing us at exactly that time, we're live. Otherwise, it's a recording. And because it's Friday, we do have the open mic. I've got my co-host B. Pete with me, and you could join me. Okay, what do you have to do to join me? 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. I am unclear as to whether we have the Age of Transitions following me at 10 p.m. Eastern, but all the way up to 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll take your calls and discuss whatever it is you want, because new callers get the priority. I always want to hear what they have on their mind first. We run with that, and then God knows what happens after. And in the meantime, as we wait for you guys to join us on the phones, I'll be discussing things the week that was. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't think B. Pete is on Corpse Watch right now because the Corpse News Network, and I don't mean corpse as in corporation. I do mean as in following the Queen Lizard corpse around England. You know, that's a big thing. Even David Beckham has had to wait online and pay no attention to the soldier that collapsed and face-planted on... anyway. Weird stuff, follow the corpse, it's a new game. It's actually not new at all and strange in our culture. And of course, royalty, you even get to sniff at their corpse and look through the glass on the hearse and all that good stuff. Pomp, circumstance, more pomp. And as Jack Blood busted my balls yesterday, there is now a King Charles. Anyway, yeah, we might discuss that, but I don't want to. That's up to you guys, though. You can make me talk about things I don't want to talk about. If you call in, 319-527-5016, that's the number. That's all there is to it. And let's find out what's to my co-host, B. Pete, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a very hectic week, but other than that, doing very good. Enjoying a little bit of nice fall weather with no humidity for a change. It's been beautiful outside.
The past,
but other than that, yeah. I've been on the watch. Although, you know, it is, I guess it's a moment in history that a lot of people would never understand. You know, the loss of a monarch that's been in place for, you know, well, she was, what, 70 years?
Yeah, like 70 years, exactly.
Yeah, so it's not often that you see the changing of the guard. And yet, you know, I can understand England's devotion to the Queen. I'm glad we don't have that division here, but you know, it's their thing, and they, you know, they get into it. The Queen was a much appreciated person in England, or I don't know, United Kingdom.
But
did you go that far?
Maybe so, but wait a second. Look, forget about that. I don't even want to think about. I mean, that's up to you. If you want to embrace the royalty and all that, listen, you choose your leaders. All good. I believe in people's free choice. What I don't understand is Americans' obsession with this. This is what I don't get.
No. Realize, you know, the Americans were, they were enthralled with Princess Diana when she died. You know, it was wall-to-wall coverage, and the U.S. just ate it up. I don't understand the fascination with it among American people, but it is, I guess, England is a part of our culture from the beginning. So there's that little bit there, you know, if not for this, would we still be part of the United Kingdom? Think about that.
That'd
be a hell of a
Guess.
No, I don't go for monarchs myself, but you know, there are those that are fascinated by the system. You got to admit though, it's the royal family of England's probably the most celebrated grift in the world. I mean, what do they do? They represent a country. And yet they make millions off of it. They don't have to do anything. Well, I mean, yeah, they cut a ribbon here. They do a proclamation there. You know, they celebrate this. They're out there handing out poppies, you know, for veterans and all that. But, I mean, actually, what does the royal family do? And yet look at how much they make not doing it. Think about it. It's the biggest grift in the world.
Yeah, what they do is own a lot of things. That's what they do. And,
Well, for the royal family is amazing. And how much is the taxpayer in Britain, you know, putting towards that every year? I don't get it. I don't understand.
Technicality within the system, though, the prime minister still had to go and get permit. They get permission to form a government, right? Remember this. Every time a prime minister has come in, they had to go meet with the queen, which is also weird, is that the new prime minister, I mean, I almost feel like she might have met with the corpse, like they probably kept the corpse hidden for a couple of days. Because there was only a few days in between when this new lady prime minister replacing, Boris Johnson, was coming into office. And they always have to meet with the queen or whoever is in the office of the king, because the queen actually technically had control of the king's office. Now you have King Charles III. Previous to that, the queen had control of the king's office, right? And through virtue of control of the crown, literally, and figuratively, you had to, as a prime minister, go to her and say, oh, well, I would like to form a government, and, we shall agree to let you form a government. And that had to be done every time. Which, by the way, you know, it's not only just the treatment of the royal family directly, but, I mean, there's weird circumstances that, you know, people don't, like, shrug their shoulders at in England, that if you read very carefully through news reports of things going on, the king's crown rode in a car all by itself at certain events over the past couple of years. And I'm told that's actually commonplace. But I took notice of it, and I'm going, what does that mean? I don't even know. I mean, look, she also, remember, you know, the British crown still has control over the destiny of Canada as well. The many other nations under the auspices of the United Kingdom, one way or another. I mean, they're not colonies anymore, but they are part of the greater system one way or another. Bunch of islands, there's a lot of African nations, and I mean, pay no attention to the subjugation or the opium wars or any of the other wonderful things that the various houses of royalty have been involved in. I mean, that's nothing, right? But it's so bizarre to me that Americans are enamored with this. I don't think it's a cultural connection. I think, and I'll tell you why, because a lot of women have given me a totally different answer than men do regarding this. And it's all about, you know, wanting to be basically Princess Diana, you know, in recent years, but wanting to be a princess in general, this whole Disney ideal about being royalty and, oh, this means, you know, posh, circumstances and you're venerated and you're wonderful and of course you're beautiful and all these things. You know, to be Princess Diana in a real world term, but to, I don't know, be Cinderella, you know, the maiden who becomes a princess and, you know, the belle of the ball and all that kind of stuff. It's weird to me that Americans, I mean, I forget which comedian said it years ago, but it was like, didn't we fight wars with these people in order to not have to deal with their royalty? And yet there's plenty of obsessive, sort of focus on the royalty one way or another. And Diana, it's like, okay, well, she was beautiful and outspoken and, yeah, but see, nobody would care if she was outspoken if she didn't have that crown on her head to begin with. And was she really that beautiful? Well, she's a lot prettier than half of these inbred royals, but was she really, you know, some exceptional beauty, or was she, you know, by comparison, exceptional beauty? And now, of course, you have the consort of the king, Camilla Parker Bowles, who cannot officially be a queen, right? But anyway, you know, new circumstances, new regime. Yeah.
Well, that goes down to control of the crown. When Elizabeth was queen, her husband could not be called king, because the king is the highest level of hierarchy in the system.
Right.
So, likewise, King Charles cannot have a queen, in that there are certain duties that go with a queen. A queen is only a queen when she's the head of the monarchy. So she's the queen's consort.
Right.
And it's just because of giving the ability, that title comes with certain requirements and certain regulations regarding what they can and cannot do.
Right.
And that's why they don't bestow queen upon Camilla, and they didn't bestow king upon, what was his name, Philip?
Yeah, I think it was Philip.
So, I mean, that's why. It's just the way the Brits set up their royalty, and it's, I guess it's understandable. But, you know, I can understand the princess thing. Hell, Disney's been pushing that for what? How long has Disney been around? 70 years?
Yeah.
80 years? No.
Probably about the same amount of time Queen Elizabeth has been in that office, right? Elizabeth II.
Disney was around before 52 or 53 when she took over. So, 52, I guess it was. And she was what, 25 when she took over the monarchy? That's a lot of pressure on a 20.
I got you. Disney was around, but I mean, I guess we'd have to look and see when those movies started coming out with the princesses, because, you know, Steamboat Willie doesn't matter. But you know, and Goofy and Pluto, I mean, who gives a crap, when it comes to the royalty? But, you know, at a certain point, yeah, then we got Cinderella and Snow White and, you know, and the princess theme that has emerged over time, of course, you know, becoming more politically correct nowadays in Mulan and all this other stuff. But, oddly, I don't know. It's just one of these things where it's like, I would think this would grate against the, inner being of the American character to be supportive or interested in. And yet there are people that, they used to call them Anglophiles, by the way, who were like very obsessively like followers of the royal family and, really understood these people understood the entire nuances. I mean, you can hear I'm a little ignorant on some of this stuff, because I don't want to acknowledge it. I don't believe that there is, you know, someone that by right of birth should ever be allowed to rule over people. You know, that makes no sense to me. I mean, just because your grandfather might have been a good leader, it doesn't mean you are. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. And some of these people, you know, like I said, the royal families are just a weird sort of example of how one can accrue wealth through inheritance. Especially if your inheritance is, you know, control of a realm. Anyway, all that aside, that's part of what's going on this week. But there's other things happening. And I didn't want to, you know, spend too much time on it. God knows if anybody's going to call in and want to get into this. But I don't know. I consider it very weirdly, like, shouldn't go along with America, you know? I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just an old-fashioned way of thinking. But I know that this, you know, even in the days of Reagan and all that, and back during the time when Charles and Diana got married, I mean, that was a major, you know, a media event. It was broadcast, you know. That was like the first time I ever heard live via satellite, we're actually going to see something as it happens, you know. With the time difference and all, it was, you know, the giant royal wedding, and that captivated the imagination, seemingly, of America. And I don't know, maybe the obsession predates that, but yeah, go ahead.
You could write it down to the cult of personality. I mean, you know, you look at how American culture and how they embrace the, you know, the rich, the famous, the elite. It's just, you know, cult worship. Yeah. It's pretty much what it comes down to. I mean, it's no different than when Elvis died or when, John F. Kennedy Jr. died in his plane crash and the amount of media attention thrown towards these things. I mean, when Elvis died, you'd have thought it was the end of the world in this area. He had a lot of people. So, you know, you'd look at that cult of personality and the fact that people get so wound up in it. I mean, what's one of the most prevalent things in entertainment, or maybe not at this date, but a good, you know, 10, 15 years ago was still pretty big, and that's Elvis impersonators. You know, there's always going to be a place for Elvis in the hearts of women in the South forever. You know, he was the king, one of the few people that could call themselves king. Although I never understood that, but my mom was, you know, she thought Elvis was it.
See, and there we go again. You know, you got royalty, right? I mean, it has to be equated with royalty, but at least Elvis had talent. And, you know, some of these other cult of personality type people, they have other elements to them. You know, Prince Charles, not exactly a pretty boy in my estimation. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I can't see him as a good-looking guy. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
And it makes you wonder, you know, how long he's going to be in power. Is he going to hold it till the day of his last dying breath? I mean, that's one thing that, that Queen Elizabeth said, you know, when she was early, you know, earlier in her, her reign, that she would be there to, she would be there for the public until her last breath. And she literally was. So, you know, is Charles going to pull the same thing, or is he going to abdicate in a few years and hand it over to his son, who, you know, you look at the Queen and you look at Prince Charles and you look at, or, well, King Charles now, you look at their ages and you look at the leaders that we have in this country and their ages. And, you know, is it time for the younger generations to start taking over? That's one of the problems we have in our system, is this ageism, where we're being led by a bunch of people who, if truth be known, probably couldn't have control their faculties during the day, but they're obscured from the public in their offices up in D.C. Mm-hmm. And you really don't know what's going on. You know, I understand that Jerry Nadler can hardly make it through a day now, and he just got he just won his primary for re-election coming up this year.
Right.
These guys in their 70s and 80s, it's time for us to get rid of them. Look at our president. You know, he's almost 80 years old. He can't half function. He has to be told which direction to go, and everything he's told to do is written down on a card just so he can make it, you know, to nap time.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
I was looking at him earlier today, by the way. They were playing clips of him. President Biden has made a strong statement toward Vladimir Putin. And I was like, oh, let's see what this is now, you know. And I go look at it, and, you know, he's doing that squinting his eyes thing, you know.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, don't use nuclear weapons. It's like, Grandpa, look, we got to take you back to the home in a little while, okay? So, you know, relax a little while. It's okay, right? We'll clean you up
like
before we bring
he
you
was back. Running. When he was running for president, you know, he made the comment about, oh, I'd like to take him back behind the gymnasium. I thought, he'd wax your ass, old man. You know, this, yeah. What we have as a president now is just a joke. I cannot believe that. I'll tell you what, Joe Biden is the epitome example of where our country's at right now, that we would elect somebody that talentless for the position. As Joe Biden, you know, he got turned away for the presidency. How many times did he run? Was this the third time? Third time?
I'm not sure.
No, he finally waits until he's almost 80 years old and gets elected only because there was nobody else to run. Think about that.
He was literally, the least crappy option, right? And that was the idea behind, listen, I'm not as bad as these other people.
Exactly. I mean, that could have been his whole campaign slogan. I'm not as bad as the other guy. And that's how we ended up with him. You had Trump and Hillary, which were the two worst choices you could have possibly had. And Trump won. Okay. Yeah. Then we listened to Hillary complain for 2 years about how she actually won, but she didn't. Then it comes time for the reelection. Right. You know, Trump goes into it full steam. Biden didn't even get into it until what? After the majority of debates, and stayed in the bunker, you know, in his basement the whole time campaigning. Yeah. Never saw him anywhere till the last minute. It's like, guys, we got to nominate somebody, and we don't have anybody in this field that we've been running up till now.
Right.
So we're going to throw our weight behind Joe Biden. He's the least possible screw up we could do.
Well, I mean, it was so bad that Marianne Williamson looked pretty good to me. To be honest with you on that side. I mean, it was like, at least she understands that, you know, the nation's in trouble. We have a problem with our character and things are not good. And I was like, well, as generic and stupid and the lack of the specificity as that has to it, gotta say, at least it's concise. The rest of this was nonsense coming out of these people's mouths. And
so
it was
Biden gets ready. He's running. He gets the nomination. Who does he pick for his running mate? The individual who couldn't even make it through the first primary.
Yeah.
He picks Kamala, and she turns, what, 4 months before that, accused of being some racist white guy you know, that was against busing and wouldn't have allowed her to go to school.
That was hilarious.
I mean, it's, but it's a perfect example of where this country's at right now.
Yeah.
We deserve the government that we get, and look at what we got.
Ugh. Well, you know, and now the whole debate is, well, you know, Kamala, who everybody was like, oh no, don't worry, Kamala's, remember everybody was screaming she's gonna take over after a couple of months because he's so inept? And that never happened. Guess why? Cause she's that inept. She doesn't, I mean, come on. You know, she's, they're looking at it going, well, maybe Joe will have to run again. I'm like, can he walk again?
You know, who's the happiest person, the joke, who's the happiest person in the world right now? Jimmy Carter, because, you know, Biden's so bad. Nah. You know who's the happiest guy in the world? And think about that.
Tell me.
Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle, nice. There's a deep cut. You know, but I'd rather have Jimmy Carter in there right now than Joe Biden. To be honest with you.
And I'd much rather have Dan Quayle than Kamala Harris.
Agreed. I would take Quayle over Harris, too. I would. Put them together on a ticket. Dan Quayle and Jimmy Carter. Let Jimmy Carter have a third term.
Jesus. I mean, I heard that. Somebody made that joke about, about Jimmy Carter. I said, no, he ain't the happiest guy. It's Dan Quayle.
Well, imagine Joe Biden trying to build a Habitat for Humanity house.
Oh, God. you'd have to put those yellow kid tethers on them where you hook it to their wrist when you go shopping so they don't go running off.
Yeah, pool floor.
I mean, you'd have to. But you look at the condition of this country, what we've gotten ourselves into, and I don't know if it's through complacency or we're so divided that the end result is we have people like Joe Biden being elected to run our country.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really bad. People just want to slough it off like it's no big deal.
Agreed. Listen, we have a Skype caller who has joined us. Nature Boy, can you hear me all right?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good. I was apparently a little loud at the beginning of the broadcast. Sorry about that. But anyway... I don't know what's going on, odd adjustments, but how you doing tonight, man, since you're the first caller, and as per usual, like I say, love to hear what you have on your mind first, so, floor is yours. I mean, we're having fun right now talking about, the zombie apocalypse at Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, the Biden administration, excuse me. And, and all that, and follow the corpse over at the Corpse News Network, because, Coronavirus News Network, they're not following that right now. I mean, and monkeypox doesn't fit with their call letters. So, what can you say, man? What's on your mind?
Well, let's not forget that the FDA or the CDC now said that ivermectin is now an effective treatment for COVID. Let's throw that one in the mix.
Well,
but I'm doing
also,
all right. It's
also,
night.
Hey, also, they did not monitor. Also, don't forget, they did not do monitoring for the vaccines. For the adverse effects, they claimed they were monitoring all that, remember? And now they said, we just kind of made it look that way for the public, but we didn't actually do it. Just saying.
Just let them die.
Just saying. But go ahead, Nature Boy. It's all up to you. Sorry.
No problem.
And I'm still getting hit. No, I'm still getting hit for medical disinformation. I have 5 strikes on YouTube now. I don't know why my channel's still there. And also, recently on the CFR network over there, somebody pointed out to me that I'm the only one who got a COVID stamp on it. Learn the real facts about COVID. Don't listen to this guy. Because
you did.
I
saw that.
I'm the only one. He's got controversial 80 people, and I get the warning stamp. Don't listen to this guy about COVID or vaccines. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem, man. I guess I got some naked news for later on, but I story du jour, as I call it. The illegal immigrants, undocumented workers that are dropped off on Martha's Island, 50 of them that flew in. Oh, my God. What? Can you guys believe that? Here is the richest property probably in the entire United States, okay? Everybody that lives there is millionaires. And by the way, Obama lives there, has a place there. They, and probably most of them are Democrats, to be honest, but I can't, I'm making an assumption at that. Mm-hmm. And for the longest, they've been taking illegals and shipping them all over red states in small towns that probably don't have too many resources, you know, since Walmart moved in, if you know what I mean. And they get 50 of them over there, and they're calling it a state of emergency, I think. And they just bust them all off to some Cape Cod center or something like that. What's y'all's opinion on that? I'm just curious of how other people view it as opposed to me and my funky head.
Well, BP, take a crack at this one first, because I don't know. I might get really strange on this one.
At first, my first thought was, you know, poetic justice. Let some of these people who pump the money into the system that allows the immigration system to be broken and maintain it that way. And this administration is going out of their way to maintain the most amount of illegals coming in this country as they can. I mean, it's, the facts are staring you in the face. They're doing nothing to stop it. But, you know, I thought it was poetic justice. Yeah, ship these guys up there and let the elite figure out what to do with them. You know, border towns from Arizona, California through Arizona, Texas, to some degree, Florida, Louisiana are dealing with an influx of people coming across the border. And there's, you know, it's killing them. They don't have the money to be able to handle taking care of that amount. So these governors got smart. And I'd like to know who advised them. Because Abbott in Texas started it, and I'd like to know who came up with that idea. Because well, whoever did, they deserve a raise. It's golden. But to send them to Martha's Vineyard, you know, yeah, well, hell, buy them a keg, make it a 3-day party. But to send them to Martha's Vineyard was the ultimate strike. I mean, they have a homeless shelter there. You know, you hear the lady on TV complaining, "We just don't have the resources." Well, stick a crowbar in your wallet and get them.
That's what I was thinking.
Border in Texas to do, you know,
the richest people probably in the nation live up there, right? And if they really wanted, yeah, build a shelter for them, right?
You know,
buy them. You know, so
I thought it was, but I got a question: mm-hmm. Are they straight with these people about putting them on these buses and planes and shipping them somewhere? I mean, the latest one was, and I don't know whether it was DeSantis or Abbott. They sent what? Two buses to Kamala Harris's address, mm-hmm. where they disembarked from the bus. So, mm-hmm. you know, at what point are we going to stop this? Are they going to finally do something? Is this enough to get somebody to finally come to their senses and do something to try to control it at the border?
I think it's just the ultimate case of NIMBY, not in my backyard. Fine and dandy when it's not my backyard, but the minute that's in my backyard, then, oh my God, we have a crisis.
Exactly. And they're reacting as predictable, run around like their hair's on fire. It's hilarious to watch. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, welcome to California where there's shanties and tents everywhere and broken down motorhomes and it's common anymore.
I don't like the fact people are being used, you know, to make this point, but the whole point is the amount of people that's coming in and the resources it takes to be able to facilitate them. And, mm-hmm. and now they're, you know, people's eyes are getting opened up north of the border and it's about damn time. Mm-hmm. But
it is.
I don't know. It's a shame that we're playing, you know, shell game with people, but that's what they are. They become a commodity to these people running this damn country.
Mm-hmm. Very much. I mean, they ship them to the red states and with the hopes that even if they're illegal, they'll vote Democrat, which I find a kind of a paradox. And meanwhile, when it's introduced into their backyard, they lose their collective SHT. It just to me shows the hypocrisy of the ruling class. And, you know, I don't like to see anybody used as a political pawn. But I agree with you. I think this makes a strong statement. And maybe it's time for them to either put up or shut up. I don't know. I'm not that smart.
I gotta love it. It puts up a strong statement. Yeah, it puts up a strong statement that neither side of the equation is willing to solve anything. Shuffling people around, still the same result. I mean, hey, wasn't the worry that people were going to travel and disappear into the country, and now they're literally, you know, shoving them forward and giving them a place to go? You know, interesting. You know, a lot of the people that agree with this point of view, where you guys think this is a great idea, want to send more of them to California, where I was shaking my head at people telling me about it. Like, it was like, oh, this is so great. They got to send more of them to over there in commie California. And I'm going, California's already overrun. What are you, stupid? You know, don't.
I like your idea. I think we should send them all to California.
Okay, great. But, you know, let's put more pressure on California, sure. Okay.
Well, you know, well, see, I'm one of those that when Trump was building the wall, I figured he should have got to Arizona and turned north and just gone right up the line, and we just give California back to Mexico.
Hey, I live in California, darn it. Don't discriminate me because – hate me because I live in California, man. Now you're just getting mean.
You have the ability to move, and we welcome you here in North Carolina. We've been putting up with halfback for, 100 years now, so –
No. Yeah. I could be the ultimate carpet bagger.
There you go. See, but there it is. No solution. This is not a solution. This is, again, political gamesmanship. And, you know, instead,
mine is a good solution.
What's that?
It would cause a lot of problems. It would help take, if we gave California back to Mexico, all of that income from California could then go to Mexico. We wouldn't need people to jump the border to come here to go to work. They could just go right up their own country into California and help add to, you know, help stimulate the economy for Mexico.
Well, wait a minute. I think that might work out for us Californians, because if they reverted back to Mexico, we actually might have more freedom.
You'd have everybody to work the fields, so we wouldn't have to worry about the high price of avocados. And then, you know, you've got all your landscaping is taken care of. All of your construction crews are taken care of. California would thrive if we would just redirect all of the illegal immigrants to California and give it back to Mexico. It's a win-win.
With that, I'm going to go to break.
Yeah. Okay.
See how that works, Nature Boy? See how that works? I love that. Yeah, I hope you're feeling that, because that's exactly what's going on here. Of course at Martha's Vineyard they got nowhere to put these people. They don't have anywhere to put anybody who is not, you know, purchasing millions and millions of dollars worth of property. They don't have space for you at Martha's Vineyard. Of course not. Duh. But what are you going to do? Sanctuary cities. Yeah, I know. Anyway, the Ocelli Effect will return after this, and I'm sure this topic is going to get discussed some more. Stick around.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times, and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Support Chuck O'Chelly at chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this because, the Acelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell your listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Ocelli.com.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect continues now at Ocelli.com, and who knows what's going to go on all the way up to 10 p.m. Eastern here as we speak to you live on the 16th day of September 2022. But so far, immigration and this whole thing about busing individuals, you know, from the border states, you know, from Florida, and odd that they're busing them from Florida in my mind. I mean, are these all the Cuban immigrants? Because I don't know. I thought Mexican immigrants didn't really end up in Florida, but maybe I'm wrong. I know Texas has the southern border immigrants for sure. And, you know, I brought up the fact that a whole bunch of people were saying, we need to send more of them to Commie, California. And I'm going, I think they already have enough, but okay. And that's as far as we got. Anyhow, yeah, go ahead. Nature Boy's with us, and you can be with us, by the way. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call or reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype. We may have three segments altogether on this show tonight in the 2 hours, but we'll see how it goes. Might be two. Who knows? Nature Boy, sorry, man. Go right ahead.
I was just thinking anybody that is saying exactly what you just said is another example of NIMBY. You know, send them to California. But
Wait a minute. I object to that. It is not NIMBY. You know what it is? It's own those libs. California's full of libs. See, I'm telling you, this is literally the mirror of the mindset of screw them, send them more that you guys are talking about. Hey, let them deal with it. They don't deal with it up there. Let them get invaded. They're saying that about California because, you know what, looking at the facts about who's already there is irrelevant because it's just about screw you. You're liberals, so screw you. That's it.
It's the shallow thinking that is so prevalent in today's society across all aisles, left or right. It's nobody thinks things through. Nobody looks at anything critically. They just react. They're, and Freeman has a great term for it, but I forget it right now, and it drives me nuts. I see it everywhere, man, and people feel so righteous, and social media, people, that's a classic thing, well, they'll get out there with their chests out and spout all of this vitriolic speech, at the same time have absolutely no idea of the subject they are spouting upon. Drives me nuts, man. Wish people would get smart.
Well, what do you expect when your president gets up there, 2 weeks ago on a speech that was purely political and calls half of the nation, half of the voting public, you know, a threat to this country? What do you expect?
Something just popped in my mind about all that. I'm really like symbology, right? Imagery. And there was a lot there. And I noticed as him and Jill are walking down, there was a moment when they went into the shadows, right? And out of the shadows, they came into the light. Knowing what I know about set productions, that was intentionally done. Uh-huh. Why was that done? What did that symbolize? Chuck, I think you would be able to figure that out a lot better than I did, considering your deep knowledge of the occult and symbology. But that was there for a reason. Don't know what it is. If you guys could help me out, I would be a better person.
Well, let me just instruct everybody about one thing, though. That's not half of the American public, BP. That's not half of the... Half of the American public does not vote. They couldn't possibly be MAGA Republicans because they don't vote to begin with, right? Or wrong?
Change that to half of the voting public.
Okay. Cool. Because I was going to say, it's not half of the country because, again, half of the country doesn't vote. What you're looking at is likely 25% of the country to 30%, right? Because that's the largest possible percentage that could really be on the MAGA Republican side, right?
And half the public changed it to half the voting public. Cool. And that's why. Okay. I mean, there was 70 differences. How many? 70? What was the difference in the election? It wasn't much. Biden didn't win by his landslide.
No.
You know, so basically half the voting public voted for Trump. I mean, there's the numbers.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's just, I mean, it's like Hillary getting up there and calling you know, anybody that would vote for a Republican deplorable. No, that's what we're dealing with now in the past few years. Even our leaders can't get beyond it. It's just trash talk, you know, talk smack and then don't do anything once you win the job. That's the part that kills me. They don't do a damn thing.
Well, that's the amazing thing to me is that over the course of, you know, anybody who's on this call, our entire lifetimes, right? Power has shifted back and forth between allegedly the conservatives and the liberals one way or another, right? Guess who's come up with a great solution to fix this? None of them. Okay? None of them have actually solved this issue.
I'll give you a good example, and this is one that I just stumbled across today. Right now, oil's trading, oh God, what was it, $94 a barrel or something. It's down around 80. And when the Biden administration decided to release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, all these huge amounts, it's gotten us down to where we're at our lowest level ever, and it's really a dangerous level to be at based on world economies and the supply chain situation the way it is. Right. But, you know, the policy from the administration is now, oh, we sold all this stuff. Now we're going to pay it back when it gets down to around $80 a barrel. Well, people seem to forget, but Chuck Schumer was bragging, 3 years ago, when Trump wanted to, you know, with COVID, gasoline usage bottomed out.
Oh, yeah.
The price of oil was driven down to $24 a barrel, and Trump wanted to take advantage of that and fill the petroleum reserve.
At one point, the metric broke. At one point, the metric broke on oil, and it was at a negative price point. On the futures.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
That was
proposed with the time to refill our reserve because it wasn't going to get any lower.
Right.
And it got blocked. And Schumer bragged about blocking a big payoff to big oil. Well, what do you think they're going to get now when you're going to be paying three times that amount to refill the reserves? And you don't see things like that in the media. It's a perfect example of the media being able to come up and say, here's what the situation was. Here's what the situation is now. Now tell me how the Democrats have been able to finagle this to the betterment of the people where they're not going to be paying three times the amount of oil to fill the reserve. And look at the profits that were lost when we put that stuff on the market from the strategic preserve. Look at the amount of profit we would have made if we'd have paid $24 a barrel for it.
Yeah, no kidding.
As opposed, you know, we would have made billions in profits for this country. But all that's gone now. That chance is over. It's not going to get that low again.
Yeah. I know. It's not going,
you know,
there, no.
Media not out there. Why is the media not out there saying, okay, this is one thing the administration is doing where they're totally screwing up? We're not seeing that. They've totally left. They've abandoned their jobs. We can't rely on the media anymore to go in and fill us in on this stuff that's going on. You have to start paying more attention to what's going on behind the scenes. And we're creating a government that's making it harder to do that. Our government now is more secretive than it's ever been. Look at how many agencies are spying on the average person every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the FBI was designed to spy on Americans, and the CIA was designed to spy on everybody else, and now we've got the exact reverse. We've got the FBI worrying about everybody else in the world, and the CIA is now looking in our trash cans.
Yeah, well, and not to mention what the other 14 intelligence agencies are currently doing, right? I mean, you know, this is where we're at. I know.
And we have 51 former intelligence professionals that come out and sign a letter saying, don't pay attention to this news story because it's just Russian disinformation. And we come to find out that, no, it's an actual story. Yes, it could have affected the way the election ran. And we're still seeing evidence coming out today of Joe Biden knowing exactly what was going on with what his son was doing and making 10% cut off every deal he was getting from communist China, the Ukraine, and everybody else. And we're not even checking into that.
Well,
I mean, we're pointed to country right now. How do we get beyond all this? They're so corrupt.
Yeah.
How can we get beyond it as a member of the public?
Listen, I hear your concerns, and I'll tell you this. Don't worry. There's going to be plenty of investigations into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and everything else. You just got to wait for after the 2022 selection, and it'll all be good. it'll swing the other way, and we'll waste time in that direction, because truthfully, nobody who is ever in a great position of power is ever taken to task or held accountable. So just like Trump will not be, regardless of what you think he did or didn't do, he wouldn't be held accountable no matter what he does. You know, when he said, I could shoot somebody in the face on Fifth Avenue or whatever, or shoot him in the head, or, yeah, he could have. And he was right. So, you know, and also Biden, we're going to pretend like there's no corruption there, too. Why not? I mean, you get a free pass. That's it. So, you know, but they're going to feign like they're doing something. And we're going to have the Hunter Biden committee coming up, I'm sure. And we're going to have, you know, okay, now let's get into Joe there. Let's find out what Slow Joe knew. I mean, maybe by then they'll start admitting about his dementia, because it'll get him off on the charges and he can go out there and be like Reagan, who didn't recall anything. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, why not? It is business as usual. So also want to say hello to our friend, a friend in Australia who is listening to the show live. Appreciate you, man. I'm sure you'll want to call in during Aaron's show, which will be coming up at 10 p.m. Eastern, just about an hour from now. But anyways, look, to answer your question, you know, Nature Boy, and also we have a caller on the line regarding this whole, you know, going from the light into the darkness and emerging. Here's what I would be paying attention to, believe it or not. This whole focus on the trans reality, and I do mean not just, you know, transsexuality, which a lot of people focus on because it's, you know, it's the low-hanging fruit. It is the thing that will attract attention. But also the transhumanist agenda, which, yes, if you notice the weird commentary, which has come out of Biden's mouth recently. I mean, this guy, again, you know, he is reading the script, all right? And I know he's got weird quirks in his speech. A lot of people think it's, you know, definitely dementia, but a lot of it is truthfully about his stuttering. And I can hear him controlling his stuttering, and he's, you know, reading his script like a good boy and talking about the transhumanist agenda, okay, which is what that's about. It's transition. Okay, you're in darkness before you're born. You then come into the light. Now, if you submerge yourself in darkness and reemerge, the rebirth process, the renaming process, all of these things have various occult significance. The fact that it was staged that way is because he was making a transition. Previously, he had been, you know, staying out of things and all that. Now that he's coming forth to make that statement, this is meant to be like a, almost like a ritualistic point where you do submerge in darkness and reemerge into light, which is meant to raise the vibration of what it is you're saying. Okay? I don't know if you ever noticed this, but, you know, and people say, okay, it's because you're not paying as much attention to things that are lit up when you hear things better in the dark. But other people will say that sound travels better in the light. What it is that sound resonates differently in light because there is a different condition by which sound travels. And all of these things are taken into account. The frequency, the resonancy, the symbology. There's a production in here. I'm not saying Joe knows anything about this or Jill does either. No. It is the directors. No. That understand this, these cinematographers who understand this. So this was meant to be a transitional time, and you're going to see a lot of very weird things now coming out regarding support of the technocratic agenda, not the democratic agenda. I didn't say that. The technocratic agenda.
Technocratic.
And yes, that's what that was about. That's why they had that going into the dark and coming back out, because it's about the transition. It's about the download. It's about the literal transportation of that energy, that information. So he is the carrier of that information. So that's what it is. It was about the conduit and the presentation there. So somebody was directing that, was doing that intentionally, and it is about the ritualistic aspect. Which, say what you will, and you may not believe in magic, black or otherwise, But these things are all done for a purpose. I mean, there's a reason why certain incense is burnt at your churches. There's a reason why they ring bells. Okay, there is a mystical significance to every single one of these theatrical aspects. So you're correct. And what it is it's about a transition. And keep your eyes open because you're going to see more transitions in the media presentations. So Biden, that was the first one, though, in a while that I saw that was that orchestrated. Because the previous stronger political statement was not done with the same attention to detail. So anyway, we do have a caller, BP, and I kind of want to back off of the mic and turn it over to you. We are in the second hour, and I'm trying to do that more often, believe it or not, on the Friday night show, because my co-host sometimes, I run my mouth, and you know what? I don't give him enough time to talk or to handle the show. and that's my fault. So I want to give you a bit of a time to handle the show. And let's see, who do we have on the line? Let me look here. Jimmy James is on the line, so I want to bring him on, BP, and then, you know, the reins go over to you, brother. What do you think? You ready? You happy with that?
Yeah, that's good. I'd like to welcome the man with a fan, Jimmy James.
There we are. And you are not on the list, Jimmy James, just so you know. He still says he's on a list. not according to me, Jimmy James, and I checked, by the way.
On this list, how much do they tell you it's going to cost you if you want to connect?
I don't know. The minute I see this guy trying to charge, I hung up.
I have to hide the charge somehow.
I think it's a conspiracy. It has to be.
What happens if you block your number and you call anonymously? What have you tried blocking your number and calling anonymously?
Don't you do that by *67? Because I just tried that, and it's an invalid number.
Oh, I don't. Your guess is as good as mine, man. I was just suggesting it. Sorry, because I don't have a list. I'm not in control of this. I don't know what's going on, and you're the only person who said to me, it's trying to charge me to call you.
Nature Boy, don't worry. We'll get you a copy.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, BP. I appreciate that.
Are you going to let him stay at your house when he comes to North Carolina, or are we going to welcome him?
Yeah, I got enough. I'd keep him busy with some yard work now. You can come to North Carolina and gain employment on the same day.
There you have it, Nature Boy.
I'm a hell of a landscaper, bro. So don't let my skin color fool you.
Nature Boy says he'll work with nature. So, Jimmy James, what's on your mind?
Well, I missed the first part. I'm a bit confused as to what you guys were talking about.
Go ahead.
Well,
BP.
The conversation started off really just shifting the busing and flying of illegal immigrants to blue states and liberal towns like Martha's Vineyard, you know, where they really can't handle 50 new immigrants coming in and all of the havoc that it's creating. But
we also talked about follow the corpse game first, with the Queen being dead and King Charles.
That's true,
now.
Yeah. Wow. And the royalty and the fascination with, you know, Americans and the royal family and all things, England. So, and then we got to my idea of forcibly succeeding California to Mexico and putting the wall up along a border with Nevada. And then we came back from break, and we were discussing, you know, just general politics and the 2 weeks ago Biden's speech and the dark occult overreaches of that. So you can either join in on those or come up with something new.
Well, unfortunately, it's 3 more days before your buddy gets to go to court for his 50 offenses.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm betting it gets postponed, though. But that leads us into naked news. That's good. There.
Oh, yeah. Nature Boy said he had some naked news for us. So you want to go to naked news, Jimmy James?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Nature Boy, what do you got?
All right. Hold on for just a second, all right?
No worries.
I have some naked news. Yeah. I have only one article from our favorite state, Florida.
Of course.
And this one's a good one. Nobody got arrested, but I'll just read the headlines. This is from Niceville, Florida. Let me put on my glasses so I could see what I'm reading.
Niceville, Florida. I've never heard of Niceville, Florida, but okay. Why not?
No, what the hell is that?
I don't know. But the headline reads, Naked Florida Man Starts House Fire While Baking Cookies on George Foreman Grill. Niceville, Florida. Responding to a house fire last week, Niceville police officers and firefighters encountered an odd sight. When firefighters got to the home around 5:30 p.m., they could see smoke coming from outside. A naked man opened the door and said, "I'm sorry," and closed the doors. Police officers arrived shortly after to assist. The man came to the door again, left it open, and went back in the house. According to the offense report from the police department, the man showed no signs of understanding the danger he was in. There were several things on fire inside the home, including some towels. An officer detained the man and removed him from the house for his own safety. Firefighters says that if he had stayed in the home much longer, he could have possibly died from smoke inhalation. In the report, an officer said that he and another officer were in the house for about 5 minutes and had a hard time breathing. So they brought in oxygen masks, removed the burning items. The man admitted to drinking 2 liters of vodka and smoking marijuana starting around 9 a.m. that morning. He was examined at the scene and had no life-threatening injuries, the report said. He refused further medical treatment. Based on the department's investigation, the man allegedly tried baking cookies on a George Foreman grill, which he left unattended. The grill and the cookies caught fire, so he put dry towels on the grid, on the grill, excuse me. Those caught fire too, causing the fire to spread. End of story.
These George Foreman grills, you know, just out of the gate are a menace. You put them in the hands of idiots and all kinds of things happen. And it's just a hot piece of metal. I mean, it's a hot piece of nonstick metal, right? I mean, that's all it is pretty much. It's double-sided so you can squeeze the thing, and now they've made, you know, sandwich makers so you can do like a grilled cheese now with it or whatever. But I mean, it's the George Foreman grill. That's it. It's just, what did they say on King of the Hill one time? Yeah.
You gotta work to keep one on fire, I'll tell you. I've got one, and it's nice. It's very convenient.
Okay, but I said in the hands of idiots, these things are dangerous. You're not an idiot. So, you know, but you put them in the hands of an idiot, and things happen.
2 bottles of vodka, an idiot.
Well, okay, listen, anybody can be, I guess, an idiot with the right amount of vodka, but still, I've read stories of people cooking themselves partially with these things, like falling asleep and ending up leaning on the grill and all kinds of weird stuff.
You can make a mistake and not have the cover on it and touch the heating surface, and yeah, it can mess you up. For those that are wondering, Niceville is just east of Pensacola, right near Elgin Air Force Base.
Okay. I never heard of it before, so I just... Anyway, Jimmy James, you got anything to say about this?
Well... not so much about that, but I read a thing that's kind of interesting. It said that the guy that invented Nikes was a track coach, and he would form his guys' shoes on waffle irons for lightweight, for running.
Okay. Yeah, why not?
I would assume foam. Using, I don't know what they were using back then.
Well, yeah, I've seen people do this where they take and they recarve with hot things the grooves in their shoes to get an advantage, a little more traction, depending on the surface they're running on, stuff like that. I've heard of that before. You know, you take some basic, like, you know, what was it, Chuck Taylor's that had, you know, a simple grid pattern. And you burn grooves into them so that you got, you know, better leverage on the ball of the foot. This kind of thing for running. I've heard of that before. I didn't know that that would had anything to do with the, you know, the Foreman grill design. But it just seems to me like a lot of weird little stories have gone by with these, like, over the years. It's not often, but, you know, a couple a year, something weird happens with one of these Foreman grills. Yeah.
The Nikes were made with the regular waffle iron.
Okay.
Not to be confused with George Foreman's grill. The reason I think so many weird things happen is so many of them things have been sold and given away in the holidays. Everyone's got like five of them.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Nature Boy, that's the only story you got on Naked News?
So far.
Okay.
Give me a few minutes, I could dig something else up.
Fair enough. So, B. Pete, what do we do now?
Guess we wait for him to get naked. I don't know.
We'll wait for it. Well, you know, a lot of my young life spent waiting for somebody to get naked. But you know, it is what it is, right? At least I got to, you know, update from last week because I didn't get a chance this week to tell anybody anything about it. But I was able to get a working air conditioning into the office here. So that was a good thing. Because otherwise I'd be stripped naked right now and we wouldn't have even attempted to do the video on Wednesday night because nobody needs to see that. And it was just,
nope.
It was very hot in this room, just saying, for a few days. But thankfully, I was able to get an air conditioner in here. What else went on? Well, yeah, we did attempt to go live on Rockfin, and I don't know. Look, there's the streaming is not as simple as it is on, say, a YouTube or something. So we didn't go live, but we do have videos that are coming up there. And the link for the Rockfin channel is in with the show notes if you're catching the podcast. So you can go over there and there's a bunch of material up, which, both Nature Boy and I have been working on. I've been making sure to put some stuff up there. Some of it is premium, you know, where you gotta put in, I guess, to be able to view it. And some of it is free. So, you know, you can go over to Rockfin though, and the videos are going to be very different over there. And also the, link to the BitChute channel, which, special thanks to Ray from Down Under, who has been working very hard with me to make sure that we can transfer over a good deal of the material that is really probably going to be lost very soon on YouTube on the Ocelli Effect channel, because I've got like five strikes now. Medical misinformation. My last one came with a show I did with Nico House. I don't even remember discussing vaccines with him, but I must have. Because that's what my last strike was over, was a show I did with Nico House. So, hooray for me. Yeah, they're still doing that with the COVID, even though, again, the CDC admitted this week that they misled the public about it. You know, the efficacy of the vaccines and all that. Yeah. It's safe and effective. Safe and effective. But, you know, pay no attention to the real data or actually what's really happening in the world. Just listen to the authority. And Google will support them. So anyway, that is what it is. I wanted to give those couple of updates. And also Chapter 4 of Halfway to Hell is out. If you didn't get it for some reason, you can get it on the website under the audiobook section if you're signed up. Which not too many of you are, but I do appreciate those that are. So, Nature Boy, what else do we have going on? Do we have anything else to report? We're going to try and run the video next week again, or are we taking a break from it, or what?
I don't know. It's technical difficulties. It's the first time I've really ever worked with a video. I've always been an audio guy. So the first thing is to finish up the video from Wednesday night. And I have it in an iMovie, but it's in the Apple world I'm working in, and I'm a PC guy. So I'm on a little bit of a learning curve, but I will get it out, and we'll put it up there. And that's not going to be a non-premium. That's going to be free. And then over time, work the bugs out, and then to be able to actually do the live streaming all at once. Okay. And then put that up on the Rockfin site. But okay. I like Rockfin. I watched a lot, been a member for a long time. It's $10.99 a month. And you don't get not only your premium, but you get everybody's premium. And I subscribe to some independent people. You have one of them. I'm a member of that. But this is kind of nice because instead of having like $5 here, $5 there, $10 here, blah, 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 which is hard to manage and gets a little pricey, I just pay $10 a month to Rockfin and I get everybody's premium content on Rockfin.
There you go.
So that's kind of the plan. We're working on it, everybody, so be patient. And if you don't have to be a member to go to rockfin.com and check out a lot of our stuff. We're kind of mixing it up, so we have a lot of free stuff with a little bit of premium. So,
right. And actually, I put up a roundtable from a couple of years ago from a JFK conference featuring myself and a couple other authors, which is like 2 hours long. I know not everybody's into the JFK topic, but that's the last thing I put up over there. It's me and Larry and Mike and Carmine, actually, from 2020. I think it's 2020, going around. And we did the Mythbuster panel, which was from the online Lancer conference. So I put that up in its entirety over there. So I think it's clicked on for free. But you know what? I'm getting used to the mechanisms over there along with Nature Boy. So if you go over and it says it's premium content, let me know. I'll make sure to put it out there for free for those of you just going over there to get it. And that's something that you would normally have to pay, I think, $10 or $12 for to get. So I put that out for nothing. anyway, is what it is. I wasn't looking to do a promo, but I figured we'll buy a little time, and I might as well throw it in before the end of the show.
Might as well. And, you know, I'm working on getting some good guests on there for it. My brass ring right now is Sam Tripoli, and I think that with the contacts we've made, that's kind of doable. And some other hosts there, plus some wild card people. You know how I do it. I just throw guests at you, and you're like, who's this guy? I'm like, figure it out. Have fun. And you always do. And they're always entertaining, you know, I got to say.
Right. And this is going to be interesting because once we get the bugs worked out, I mean, we're going to be able to play video clips on there. And all kinds of stuff, you know, while we're doing this, which is, by the way, that's what I meant to mention to you during the break, is that video clip, simply because you can't work with it in your software, maybe the StreamYard will take it. I don't know. We might have to try that out. You know, we were trying that out. We actually successfully streamed on there like a test show. Mm-hmm. And it worked, and then we go to do this thing with Ricky Verandas on Wednesday, and it was like, yeah, that's not working. And we started the Wednesday night show, if you were listening on the regular stream, I don't know, like 12, 15 minutes late because we were screwing around trying to get that straight. And it was a good thing we had Ricky with us because he was like, yeah, I understand.
I understand. No worries, man.
You know,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. But and that's out in the regular podcast. I got it out just a little while before airtime tonight. So on Ocelli.com and through the regular pod distributors. So the audio is out, but the video is coming soon. And I don't know if you know. I don't know. I don't think we did anything very special on there, but at least it was a video conversation, and maybe that's unique and different enough. I don't know. And I never would advise anybody to look at me, but Ricky's on there.
And so is Captain Trips, and so am I, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I noticed, like, on a segue when I thought that I was off the camera. Well, no, I had the speaker view, and I'm on the camera, so, yeah. I have been exposed.
Right, so now the faces are being revealed. See, yes. Some people come out of the darkness and go back into... Never mind, that was earlier. Transition.
Good segue, my friend. Good segue.
So, All right. Anyway, I know we got about 40 minutes left or so to the show, and you know, maybe we'll take a break in a little bit again and get ourselves together. You can still join us out there listening live. 319-527-5016 is the number to call in. If you're hearing us around 19, 20 minutes after 9 o'clock here on the 16th day of September 2022, if you're hearing us live at that time, you can join us, 319-527-5016, or message me, charles.ocelli, on Skype, all the way up to 10 p.m. when the Age of Transitions with Aaron Franz should begin. And he usually starts a couple of minutes late, and that's normally my fault. But anyway, is what it is. B. Pete, where are we going from here?
Oh, who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows? I like that.
I was trying to see, I was just checking some headlines here, see what's going on around the world, and really not a lot happening tonight. It's amazing.
Well, like I said, Corpse Watch is so big. I mean, there's a lot of people doing that.
You know, people are having to stand in line, you know, 30 hours to be able to walk by and see the Queen's casket. It's amazing that she has that kind of following. You know,
that's power, baby. That's power.
It is.
Oh, and you know what?
I have no love lost for the monarchy. I mean, especially knowing some of their history.
That's the only monarch that the 90% of them have ever known in their lives. That's a big part of it.
That's true. They've grown up with it. You know, but you have now King Charles, whose best friend was Jimmy Savile. So in my world, that says it all.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, that was because they were all involved with environmental wackoism, which supposedly King Charlie said that he's going to give that up because he doesn't want to look partial.
Well, Jimmy James, do you know who Savile is? Who Nature Boy's referencing there?
Yeah, Savile.
Savile, sorry.
Yeah, I listened to some podcast that talked about him. He supposedly raped 1,000 boys. I don't know.
No, he was more into girls, but he was probably the most prolific pedophile, serial pedophile of recent time.
He was definitely gay from the thing I heard. I don't know if it's Ackerman or Colbert.
I'm not saying he's not. But yeah, he was a trisexual. He'd try anything, even corpses.
He's a
sicko.
He'd do a snake if you held it for him.
Well, if you want to settle it for yourself, there's a pretty good and complete Netflix documentary on it, so you can learn all about it. I get so worn out from these, you know, pedophile stories. It just becomes a blur to me after a while.
Guys, A, I don't know nothing about the dude. B, he's been dead 20 years. C, I can't do nothing about that guy. All I can do is keep studying the Kennedy situation.
Well, there's always that.
And yet, he was King Charles's best friend.
King Charles.
Best friend. Come on, what are you talking? Just like Epstein was Andrew's best friend.
No.
I don't
But he was a good friend of Andrew.
Yeah, they were fairly good.
Savile could walk right into Buckingham Palace. Doesn't show nothing. He walks in, waves at the guards, and he has full access. And from what I understand, and I could be wrong, and if I am, please, anybody in the chat room, correct me. But I do believe that he was either Andrew's or Prince or King Charles's best friend, or definitely one of King Charles's closest confidants, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Wait a minute, Savile or the other guy?
Savile. Jimmy Savile. No, we're not talking about Epstein. We're talking about Jimmy Savile and King Charles. Now, Andrew was associated with Epstein, and we all know that story. Mm. But what a lot of Americans don't know who Savile is and his direct connection to the monarchy and especially King Charles. Pretty interesting and kind of creepy at the same time.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, I really want to thank Jack Blood yesterday for breaking my balls over the King Charles thing. But, yeah, go ahead.
Way to go, King Chuck. Way to go.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing to me yesterday. I'm going, shut up. You know? I was really like, come on, dude. Why you got it? You know, when I was a kid, there was, you know, kids in school who, I don't know what the mocking point, you know, like, little kids are stupid with how they mock you. Okay, Prince Charles. You know, like, whenever I would say something and prove, you know, how stupid these other kids were, and then it would be, you know, I became Prince Charles for some reason. It reminded me of that when they made him king. I'm going, crap. You know, I really had thought that he might abdicate right away, so it wouldn't be an issue, but no, there he is, King Charles.
Are you crazy? He's waited his whole life. Him and that woman are dancing. Him and his sea cow. I can't believe it, darling. Finally.
Yeah, but you figure he's going to get the money anyway, so what's the difference, you know? Then you don't have those responsibilities at all. You don't have to, you know, show up and give permission for them to form a government when a new prime minister is named. I mean, whatever, right?
Well, you know, the only reason men seek power is for women. And his woman is that cuckoo bird.
You're not a fan
of the one that our president shat on.
Okay, so you're saying you're not a fan of Carmilla Parker Bowles or whatever her name was?
No, I am a fan because we ain't heard squat from them for 20 some years. Way better than when Diana was there. Hmm. Papers every damn day is about her and him.
I don't know what to say, BP. Should we go to a break soon?
Well, yeah, we'll do one here shortly.
Okay.
But, you know, Camilla, what a joke.
Well, all these people are a joke to me. I don't know why anybody cares. Yeah. Go ahead.
That woman has been in love and fooling around with Charlie for 60 years waiting for this day.
It's an adulterer just like him. What difference does it make? Come on. Let's not be stupid about it. They were carrying on the whole time. She ain't waited for nothing. She's just waiting.
Way before.
Diana was nothing but a breeding sow for the royal family. That's all. Mm. He was in love with Camilla. He was with Camilla. While he was with Diana, she was just symbology, come from a good bloodline. She was gorgeous and a breeding sow, sadly. Just,
yeah, a muffin oven. That's all she, you know.
That's what they viewed her as.
The queen's husband just, he says, you know, she's old and ugly. Here's a young woman. No, you ain't gonna marry that old sea cow. You're gonna marry this young woman. Her ancestor used to carry the crapper for your ancestor.
Okay.
Well, believe it or not, the groom of the stool, right? The person that held the chamber pot for the royalty to crap in and wipe their butts was actually a very coveted position in the monarchy, believe it or not.
Yeah, and it went to the Spencers. They're a bunch of butt wipes.
I can't.
What was it. Diana? A Spencer.
Oh my God! I don't even know what to say to all this. You know,
right.
You know who I feel bad for is the Royal Clock and Watch dude. He used to get paid to come in every day and turn all the watches and clocks for Queen Elizabeth.
Why do you feel bad for him?
Well, he's probably out of a job. If she's dead, all her watches and stuff are probably what Camilla will probably sell him on eBay. I don't know.
Okay. I don't even, you know, the Royal Wipers, right? A lot of people cracked up when they saw that on, what was it, Coming to America, you know, with the fake Nation of Zamunda, right? The Eddie Murphy movie. Wipers, the Royal Wipers. And I'm like, you know, that's a real thing. And people were like, no, it isn't. Come on. I said, no, this was a real thing among royalty, is there were people that, yeah, that was what their job was, to take care of your toilet time. No kidding. So, I don't know, man. I can't even imagine that, you know, that kind of world. I mean, if I get to a point where somebody else has to wipe my ass, I swear to God, just, you know, mercifully put a bullet in my head. I don't want to be here no more. I just, you know, take care of yourself, for God's sake. Nobody needs to have that job. Spencer or otherwise.
Hey, as long as she's hot. You know, what can you say? Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. This should have been an inside voice.
Now, wait a minute here. You know, a hot woman, that's what you're going to do with her? What's the matter with you? I mean, for God's sake, there's a whole lot of other things you could do with a hot woman besides having her wipe your ass. And I, you know what? Now I am going to a break. I'm going to a break. That's too weird for me. BP, you know.
It's break time.
It is break time. I'm sorry. Anyway, the Ocelli Effect will continue.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Revelation through conversation.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia,
by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War,
by author Mike Swanson.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson
Swanson and JP Sottile and all of the guests that you have. How much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have okay. No idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Ocelli.com.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Third and final segment of the Friday night open mic here on Ocelli.com on the Ocelli Effect. I did get word that the Age of Transitions is a go for 10 p.m. Eastern here on the network. So Aaron Franz will go at 10 p.m. Eastern live, and then Uncle the broadcast at 11 p.m. Eastern. So anyway, for the next 25 minutes or so, and that's about what's remaining in the show, you can call in 319-527-5016 if you're hearing me live on a Friday night just after 9:35 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, you can still call in 319-527-5016 or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype for the next 25 minutes or so. And if not, hey, it's been, an interesting week for sure. Also I got a new hell and high water up on the website too. Took me a couple of days. There were some delays and things like that. But we are all caught up again. And hopefully we'll stay that way this week. We'll see what happens. My kids are not coming for a visit, and it's not September 11th. So, yeah, good chance I'll be able to be more caught up this week than I was last. So I turn it over again to my co-host, B. Pete. We have Jimmy James on the line. We have Nature Boy on the Skype. And who knows what the hell else might happen in the last segment of the show. B. Pete, I hope you got your coffee ready. And if not, my apologies, but what else should we do here? What else should we discuss? I'm not sure if I want to talk about the Royal Wipers anymore, but, you know, it could be a topic of interest for the next 25 or, well, now it's about 23. But, yeah, what do you think? Where are we going?
Well, I don't know if it's worth carrying on any more debate about the Royal Wipers and that. You know, it seems like job could be a real pain in the butt, but, you know. Depends on who you work for and how much they pay you, I guess. I wonder how much you make as a Royal Wiper.
Well, it does depend on your workload, that's for sure. We do have another caller, by the way.
And do you have other are you assigned to one person, or do you, like, you know, you get the whole family?
Oh, the family wiping plan.
That has a lot to do with whether I'd want to take the job or not. You got another caller? If you do, we can work them right in.
All right. Well, I'll bring them right on. And we'll get right to him so he's got time. Let's see. There you go. You're live.
Yeah, would you guys support a spiritual sequel to Brokeback Mountain that took place in medieval times called Crossing Swords?
Only from the perspective of the horse.
Okay.
Yeah, then I'm
now,
on board.
What about from the perspective of the groom of the stool or whatever?
Was that the official title?
Groom? Yes. Groom of the stool. I'm looking it up now.
Does it mean like you're married to the stool, or do you groom the stool?
Well, like a groomsman for a horse, right? You have to take care of it, and you also have to, you know, you have to do all the maintenance.
I mean, you actually take a brush and brush down the horse and all that. But so do you, like, I guess.
Let me go see what Wikipedia has to say.
Why not? Get the Wikipedia.
Groom of the stool, formerly known the groom of the king's close stool, is the most intimate of English monarch's courtiers, responsible for assisting the king in excretion and hygiene. The physical intimacy of the role naturally led to his becoming a man in which much confidence was placed by his royal master, and with whom many royal secrets were shared as a matter of course.
Yeah, you really have to know your shit. Go ahead. Sorry.
You have to really know your shit. Yeah. This secret information, while it would never have been revealed, for it would have led to the credit of his honor. Oh, so it's basically kind of like their version of a confessional booth. In turn, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so it did exist, and I'm trying to see who was the latest one, if I could. I don't know if the,
they quit that stuff. They quit that hundreds of years ago.
Are you sure about that?
Eventually they
they currently test all the president's fecal matter to make sure that they weren't poisoned?
Really?
Yep.
Wow. How did they must have, like, special toilets? And whose job is to dig the shit out of the president's toilet and bring it to a lab?
You know, for real, though, there was mainstream articles on it. They have a thing. They tested on Air Force One. They tested in the White House. Any other presidential vehicles or retreats?
Yeah, you don't have to dig it out. They put in
constantly testing that.
They put in like a little catcher thing in the toilet, so that you know nobody has to retrieve it. You just absolutely drop into the basket there, and they just take the basket out.
Okay, I found the last groom of the stool. It was for... Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I was just asking, is that position now, is that like a Secret Service job now? You know, you're on toilet assignment.
I would imagine that they allow some, medical technician to collect that sample. I don't think a Secret Service person would have that job, although a Secret Service person might have to supervise that, right?
They might.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a government job, so they probably have to have about five supervisors. The last groom of the stool was James Hamilton, second Duke of Abercorn. And he was the groom of the stool to Albert Edward, Prince of Wales. So the last groom of the stool was 1901.
The Duke of Dookie, 1901. Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that.
Yeah, the Duke of Duke, man.
He had a lot of corn.
And a corn, he got cornholed, man. Duke got cornholed. Telling you.
Yes, I see this conversation spiraling downhill.
My autobiography.
It's slowly circling the drain, isn't it?
Yeah, from the bowl, definitely.
I don't know what else to do with this. You guys continue to talk about it.
I wonder what the Royal Air Freshener is.
What is the Royal Air Freshener?
Yeah, I wonder what they use in the old Buckingham Palace.
Let me see if I can find out. Maybe Google will know.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I've seen once this very, very high-end, exclusive, department store, I guess you would call it, went out of business, and I audited that thing. And they just had, every day, guess how much a yearly organizer and a pen cost?
Well, in a high-end store, what year?
This is 20-plus years ago.
Okay, so a calendar in a booklet, probably like leather bound or whatever, and a nice pen. Is that what we're talking about?
Yep. For 1 year.
$200.
$750.
Wow. Okay, I was off. I tried.
Basically, the only people who shopped at the store were like the Fords and their friends and relatives, because that's pretty much who lived in this community.
Okay.
I mean, the prices were ridiculous, but the cool part was that they made their own chocolate, and when I was in there, the lady said, "You can eat all you want." I said, "Oh." And man, that was the best tasting chocolate I have ever had in my life.
Nice. Nice. I once had somebody offer to sell me a deck of cards, because I like playing cards, that was like, from one of those like super exclusive, kind of situations. I don't know what was so special about these damn playing cards, but it was something like $200 for the deck of playing cards. That's why I went with it on the organizer there. $200 for a deck of playing
cards. That's probably just normal price. It's just normal price. See, the thing is that these Fords and stuff, they just send their personal assistants in with the credit card. They don't care. They just pay. Oh, look, I just paid $50 for a pencil. They don't even look.
Yeah, it's like shopping on Rodeo Drive. If you have to ask the price, you can't afford to be in the store.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's one of those things where, you know, when people talk about Epstein and how he got a hold of the guy from Victoria's Secret's money, I go, well, yeah, all he did is he got let in. And these guys don't, when they got that much money, they don't keep track of it like that. I mean, it's not like they're keeping a checkbook.
Well, that's why he gave that Manhattan property to Epstein for a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, here, you're let in the group.
Yeah, it was just a legal.
Another show.
Yeah, it was just a legal transfer. Yeah, and that's all you need is a dollar. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, it's already equipped with video cameras there, Jeffy.
Yeah, probably. You know, I once saw one of these like almost like a James Bond equipped Corvette one time, given to somebody for a dollar, as part of a deal when they were signing a record contract, and it was like. Dude, I actually own this thing. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And it had all kinds of wild stuff in it for the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like things that you know are standard in like brand new cars today, like, you know, cameras on them and stuff. Like, you know, like a dash cam in the 90s. Think about that. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
like a Batmobile.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I first saw it is like Batmobile. But then I started thinking James Bond because it had all this weird hidden like compartments and I was like, man, this is like some special custom thing. And he's like, you know what I just did? I just gave the guy a check for a dollar, and he gave it to me. And I'm like, okay. And that wasn't even a guy who became like mega famous or anything. It was just he got let in, and never heard from him again. Actually, after that, but. Yeah, so just one of these guys who got in with the and you know who it was that was at the other end of the line regarding the money train that delivered that car to him was later on would be known as David Geffen, right? So I was like, okay, this is really weird when I found out things later. But
I think think there was any backdoor dealings on that little thing?
Well, you never know. I mean,
Hey, I found a quick little Naked News article if you guys are interested into it. It's pretty funny.
Well, we got about 13 minutes, so why not?
Okay, I'll blow through this really quick. This comes from the Windy City of Chicago.
Okay.
Naked woman accused of stealing police car, running over officer. A Chicago police officer was hospitalized after officials say a naked woman attacked him, stole his SUV, and ran him over. Police responded to reports of a nude woman lying in the streets around 9:45 a.m. Monday in Chicago. Officials say as officers tried to help her, she charged at them and began to attack. Officials say the woman then jumped in the officer's SUV and drove over one of them while trying to escape. The officer was taken to the hospital with injuries to his head and legs. The woman crashed into another car about 3 miles away and was arrested. The investigation into what set this series of events in motion is ongoing. No charges have yet been filed against the woman. End of story.
Meth.
Nice. Yeah, you know, that's my first thought is meth. Exactly. But that is my first thought in a lot of these naked news stories. Interesting thing I learned. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have a landing strip?
I doubt the story comes with photos. Does it?
No, it doesn't come with photos. I don't know. I don't think so.
Take a look.
No, not even a picture of her. Not a picture of the skank.
Chris Graves, are you going to have a show someday? How come you missed last Sunday?
Chris missed.
I hope so.
Chris missed his show on Sunday because my kids were visiting, and I basically asked Chris if he would not do a show on Sunday. That's what happened. So it's my fault. But I imagine. Do you have a guest?
Yeah, I got a couple, but they need to get back to me or I'm going to be, you know, screwed.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. The plan is to do, Get Mad with Chris Graves on Sunday. And what time are we doing that again? We're doing that at 8 o'clock Eastern, right?
That's what you wanted me to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. And we'll be recording this week for sure, too. It was just that my kids were visiting last week, and kind of better for me that they were here on September 11 anyway. So, just saying.
Yeah.
That was more of a mental health move for me, so I appreciate it that you took the break that day.
Yeah, no problem.
Anyways, we got about 10 minutes left, BP. What do you want to do?
Well, here's a headline. Saturday Night Live adds its first non-binary cast member, comedian Molly Kearney, who I've never heard of, ahead of the show's 48th season. So you've had...
sounds like he's going to be hilarious.
Absolutely, yes. Pete Davidson and Kate McKinnon left, among some others, so now they're going the non-binary route so that they can capture the LGBTQRLZX alphabet group. So this should be interesting. You're right. Hilarious as shit. She'll probably fall flat on her face.
Got to keep that ESG score up there,
we know,
guys.
We all know woke equals comedy.
Yeah, right. Sure it does. You know, that Leslie, whatever her name was, you know, I always had trouble buying her as Leslie Jones, I guess. I always had trouble buying her as a woman to begin with, so I thought they already had a non-binary cast member.
She is one of the unfunny people. She's in a group that I put, let's see, Conan O'Brien, what's the guy from, Great Britain? James Corden.
Well, Conan was a clever writer, you know.
Never heard him say anything that was remotely funny.
But he was a clever writer, which is how he got into that job in the first place. Because, you know, he's one of the guys who wrote for The Simpsons and all that. So
Saturday Night Live, too.
Yeah, well, you know, but you see, I was trying to bring up stuff that was funny. Because Saturday Night Live has sucked for a long time.
No, it was during, like, the Farley Sandler years. So, yeah, he had some funny skits back then.
Yeah, a few, but he was also there for some really rotten stuff, too. So, you know, I'm just saying, but when it comes to The Simpsons, he did kind of good stuff, you know, as far as work, you know, as a writer. But I don't get half of the cast members they have on there. I mean, most of the time it looks like amateur hour to me. I mean, I remember the Red Bank Community Theater girls, and they're overacting, and that's what I see on Saturday Night Live. It's just the same thing, you know, where they're, like, yelling, and it's overpronounced, and it's like, you know, what are you doing, watching films from the 40s? I mean, what's going on here? You know, it's TV.
That Kenan Thompson had this stupid skit where he's like, "What's up with that?" And he would dance for like 10 seconds, and that's all he would say. "What's up with that?" And I'm like, "What is going on?"
See, he's another guy who I don't find funny most of the time, and yet he's like the longest-running cast member on Saturday Night Live ever. You know, like, how has he kept that job that long? I don't know. I mean, he's okay, but he's not a headliner in my mind at all. He never stands out.
No.
You know, he's just, I hate to say it, he's just kind of there as just the black guy. I mean, that's it.
Well, while we're on the subject of programming on cable and TV, what about the shakeup at CNN? Don Lemon's been kicked down to the morning show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see, Stelter got, you know, cut. They've rearranged some programming. They've not renewed some programming. And now Don Lemon, who, you know, was really nothing more than a target for right-wing commentary, has now been kicked down to the morning show. I mean, that's a hell of a deal.
Well, I think the guy who's in charge there actually has it in his mind that is an upgrade. Because, frankly, the morning show is awful, the way that they redid it with, what was it, Keeler and, I don't know, the other guy's got, like, the personality of a dead fish. What's his name? I don't even remember. Who cares? You know, the thing is, it's terrible. Yeah. And Keeler started getting ugly with, like, every guest. Like, being pissed off at everybody she talked to. And it was like, oh, you're clearly not a morning person, lady. You know, I don't know. She got in a bad mood after giving birth again or something. I mean, she's just awful in the morning. So I think this guy, this new executive over there, is trying to save the morning show, is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, the new guy's announced that they're going back to straight news, as he put it.
Yeah,
so
well,
take that as you will.
Yeah, well, then why does Don Lemon have a job? You know, come on.
That's, I mean, if you think about what CNN's
morning.
Yeah.
You know, go back to the days of Bobby Bautista, where that's all they did was news. Who was the black guy?
Bernard Shaw. Bernard Shaw.
That was
just CNN. When him and Woodward did it, the woman Woodward, that's fine. It's, you know, they just told you what was going on.
Right. No, Bernard Shaw was a solid, regular kind of TV reporter. You know?
Watching him, I mean, he was informative. He presented it in a good way. It's very professional. Bobby Bautista, the same thing. You know,
yeah.
Back when Headline News was the news for cable, they had an outstanding format, and they gave you what you needed. And then when you started seeing them in every single airport around the world, it's like something went wrong. They took something to heart the wrong way and started branching out into this. He got away from Headline News. Their other programming just went berserk. I mean, there's some bizarre stuff on CNN.
Yeah, well, including a documentary on the Queen now, you know, where it's like, why is CNN making document? I mean, I get they have the material. They might as well repackage it and all that. But, you know, I don't need the Queen documentary from them. I just don't, you know. I don't need six different documentaries on January 6th either, where they show you the same clips over and over again. I mean, what is this?
What is it going to take to get January 6th off of the people's agendas?
About another 60 days.
You think?
Yeah.
That'll change it?
Yeah. Yeah, because then they'll be crying about what happened.
From the other side, are we just going to be hearing about January 6th and all the inside crap that Pelosi and them let it happen so they could use it, you know, to have an emergency to take advantage of?
I don't know. Nobody's paying attention to that Brian
another
Kemp.
Another announcement is that Pelosi has secretly cut a deal with Biden to be the next ambassador to Italy after she gets her crap can to speak.
You know what? Good. That's all I can tell you. It's good.
Good riddance.
Let her go over there. Nobody will hear from her again. I mean, that's it. So that's awesome.
I mean, she's like 85. Like, just like with Fauci. Like, what's the next chapter that these people keep talking about? Like,
I don't know.
They got one foot in the grave.
He's supposed to be.
They haul him up and throw his ass in jail.
Yeah, no, he's just going to retire. That's going to be the end of that. But anyway, B. Pete, we're down to the last couple of minutes.
Kids' books.
Children's books. Yeah. Anyway, B. Pete, we're down to the last couple of minutes, man. What should we do here?
Well, I guess we could go ahead and get parting shots from everybody.
Got to be quick, though, because we got like 3 minutes to do it in.
Okay, 3 minutes. Jimmy James, you're up. Go.
Oh, Jimmy James is gone. Go ahead.
Yes, go.
Just remember that, you know, there's no substitute for toilet paper, including anal bleach. Thank you. Good night.
Perfect. Perfect for this show.
Nature Boy, you're up.
Everybody check out Get Mad with Chris Graves tomorrow or on Sunday, and then check out our Rockfin channel, A Chelly Effect. If you like it, become a member, support the Ocelli Effect. And as always, gentlemen, thank you for letting me come on here and have a good time. Good night.
Thank you, sir. Definitely fun. B. Pete, still got time.
Oh, yes, B. Pete. Go to Ocelli.com, hit the donate button, do what you can. support your local food banks. Look out for your neighbor. They're the only ones going to look out for each other. We can't depend on the government to do it. We shouldn't depend on the government to do it. So let's look after each other ourselves. Rockfin, go and check it out. That's something I've got to go do myself, is head over there and see what's going on. And other than that, I'd like to thank Chuck for another week of being able to come on here and just shoot the shit for 2 hours. It's been great.
Listen, always fun, and I'm glad that you're along with me to do it. I appreciate all of you guys for listening, that's for sure. And really fast, should I even bother? You know what? I'll save it for next week. That's what I'm going to do. The Ocelli Effect is done for the week even. Coming up next is The Age of Transitions with Aaron Franz. I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Take care.